We are so blessed to be here in Kingston. We're getting Jamaica the real way. We have seen a lot of the North Coast, the Northwest Coast, but now I could truly say it's warmer in the South. That was a great amen opportunity there. This is the South. It's warmer in the South. Hold on, Vietnam. This is the Southeast. Correct, Pastor? Don't worry about it. We have enjoyed our time here in Jamaica. And as I said to the earlier service, once you drive in Jamaica, you can drive anywhere in the world. Some of these brothers here drive like they know you're going to stop. They kind of challenge you to hit them. We were standing in traffic and a little about 2 inches opened up and four cars fit in the net. And I'm thinking, man alive, if I pressed my gas pedal, it would have been a four-car collision. And they just do it like you're not going to move. And I thought, well, you know, I'm renting this vehicle and I can't afford to get hit. So I'm just going to let all 62 people get in front of me before I move again. And the other thing about the vehicle, no matter how small it is, it pock up, you know. I can't believe it. Anyway. That's what happens when you marry a Jamaican for 27 years. I was at the airport trying my patois out on one real Jamaican woman. And I said, how's my patois? She said, listen and learn. And she said that 3 times. You know, in the Bible, when they say things 3 times, that really means pay attention. She said, listen and learn. She said that 3 times, and I thought, okay. And then we were at in Mandeville at Northern Caribbean University, and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, who are born here in Jamaica, was talking their patois, and this little Jamaican boy said, you know, I speak patois good. And I thought, and so he kept trying to adjust his patois, and the little boy kept saying, nope, that's not patois. And so there was a competition, and one little Jamaican boy told us all that even if they were born in Jamaica, they've been gone so long that they forgot how to speak good patois. So, but I'm so happy this morning that we're all here, and I want to briefly introduce our family. First, you've met my wife, but if you have, for whatever reason, if you just got in here and just missed her, honey, why don't you stand? Can you give my beautiful wife a hearty amen? She's Jamaican Asian. You ever see an Asian person without a camera? She's a gadgetarian. But and then my let me start with Aunt B. You know, for the last 2 days, she was in the hospital next door. And I told the first service, we thought she had a small stroke, but they have concluded that she didn't have a stroke. So they entertained her next door, gave her rest, and so that she could be here with us at the second service. Her name is Mar, M-A-R-R. And I know that Mar is a common name in Jamaica. But Aunt B is not common. She's unique. How could you be in your mid-80s and still driving really, really well? So Aunt B, I know you had enough rest in the hospital. Why don't you stand so that these people can see a lady fearless enough to have 8 children? Amen? Can you say amen? I'm so glad to see Aunt B here. You know, she had 8 children. I'm glad she had 8 because the last one became my wife. So, and I'll tell you more about that tonight, but when my family was fading away, you don't want to miss tonight's program. It's not just about music. We show pictures and tell stories and testimonies. And I want to say the Lord has done tremendous things in our lives as a husband and wife, and tremendous blessings as a single man who knows what it's like to be raised in a city like New York, to get involved in all kinds of things, and to have the grace and the power of God deliver me from all of that. So tonight is more of a testimony and song telling how God has really made a difference in my life. So come, invite your friends or neighbors, and we have some CDs and DVDs and things like that that we want to leave behind here in Jamaica as a token of maybe hoping that you'll invite us back. And so if God's grace is there, we'll look forward to seeing you again in the near future. But let me introduce the rest of the family. Alicia, come on, Lisi. Lisi is standing and sitting by her mother. Alicia, give a hearty amen. And I'm glad she's here because 2 years ago she tried to drown in St. Thomas. We have some beautiful beaches in St. Thomas, and we went to an island called Virgin Gorda. If you've never been there before, it's like a little paradise, 8.5 square miles, a total island. And she jumped in the water, thought it was shallow, but it was 55 feet deep. And she tried to dog paddle to the shore, which was like about a mile away, only realizing that the current worked against her and was pushing her further back out. And so in an attempt to save herself, she said, as a lady, help. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, she said, help me, please. She asked for help, please. So when I finally realized that she wasn't kidding, I jumped in and was the first one to get to her, and so I'm glad that she's here this morning. But my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, who were born here in Jamaica, Glenn and Elaine, why don't you both stand up together? Give them a hearty amen. Both of them. Yaris, you know. But they've been Americanized. And they were born in Clarendon, which is not too far from here. But also two additions to our family, two lovely little children, Alvina and Jacob. Come on, just come right here real quick. Come here, miss. She's not shy. This lady, she's probably more, look at her. I sometimes think she's on steroids, but no, that's just sweet. That's just who she is. She's not shy. This is Jacob and Alvina. Let's give them a hearty amen. Amen. And wonderful additions to our family. And we love them. And they love us. And we just have fun together. They're fortunate because they're just 10 and 7 years old. At 10 years old and 7 years old, I didn't even know planes existed. And they're here in Jamaica enjoying themselves in all the ways that they possibly can. I didn't do this morning, but I want to bring you greetings on behalf of 3ABN and on behalf of the Illinois Conference, where I pastor. Been pastoring now going on 24 years, ordained minister of the church. And you know what's so amazing about that? Is God can do in our lives amazing things. And I also say happy Pastor's Day to Pastor King and his wife. To be appreciated by your congregation is something that is no small thing when we know how diligent and how hard you both work. You've got to work for all these people, and your number one goal is not to satisfy them all, but to lead them all to Jesus. So continue praying for First Lady of your church and the pastor as they labor together to lead you all to the kingdom of God. But this morning, I'm going to try to be as to the point as I can. The message earlier today was muddy waters. If you were not here, we're glad that you're here now. This sermon is briefly titled, Go Forward. What title did I say? Go Forward. I have modified this sermon over and over and over. That's right. My wife, thank the Lord for my wife. My wife and I, some of you may have seen us making signs as we were sitting there like. She reminds me of things I forget. I want to say thank you to a very dear lady, Althea Grant, the pastor's secretary. When we called and we said we would be in the Kingston area, she said, wonderful. And she says, beautiful, with all that, you know, Jamaican flavor. And she has worked diligently. She's made sure that every need we've had, along with the staff of the church, this is a church that really works well together. I've been so blessed by the elders and their attention to detail, the guys in sound and video have all been just, what else do you need? Anything else? You okay? Sit down, have a seat. Pastor even said to me, Pastor, eat something so you have some strength for the second service. So, praise God for all the attention. But Althea, and, oh yeah, Althea, thank you so much for your goodness to us. We want to publicly honor you later on in the program this evening and say thank you for all that you've done for us. And the Maxim family, beautiful family. And if you've never been there before, just go over and knock on the door. They look like the family that will say, come in. So if that's the case, praise the Lord, you'll be blessed when you walk through their doors. Thank you once again. And likewise, we want to thank you publicly this evening for the goodness you've shared with us. And with all that said, I want to try something this morning that I haven't done since September last year. I shared with you briefly, I'm still in the healing process. I've been injured, and I thank the Lord that he prevented my throat injury from being permanent, because had I been hit about a half inch higher, I would never sing again. And as a singer and as one who relies on his voice to communicate all over the world, the Lord allowed my basketball injury to be just that. But it's an 18-month healing process. So I'm just about 11 months down the road, continue praying that it will be complete. But, you know, I felt so comfortable here, and the weather has been so warm. My vocal cords have loosened up really well. And I'm going to attempt something here this morning to communicate a song with you that I feel has everything to do with the message of going forward. When God leads in our lives, he never always leads the way we want him to. But if we allow him to lead, we'll discover that the way he's led us is the way that is best for us. Sometimes it's through waters. Sometimes it's through flood. Sometimes it's through fire. But it's always through his blood, right? And so no matter how God chooses to lead us, he's going to take us to the kingdom one day. And I just can't wait to make it to the kingdom. More than just something I preach about, I'm looking forward to it, being in the eternal kingdom one day. So you pray as I use my voice this morning to communicate to the glory of the Lord. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, he bathes the weary one's feet as God leads his dear children along. This is how he does it. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. With sorrows before us and Satan opposed, God leads his dear children along. Through faith we shall conquer and defeat all our foes, for God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, but God gives us a song. In the night
And all the day
long. Let us pray. Praise and honor to you, Lord. I thank your holy name this morning for the evidence that you have allowed me to do something here today that I've not done in more than a year. I praise and I thank you. But Father, today I also ask that you speak to your people. That you remind us that Jesus is soon to come. As we open your word, may your Holy Spirit speak to each of our needs. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Because you have your Bibles, go with me to Exodus chapter 14. What book did I say? Exodus, what chapter? Chapter 14. The sermon is entitled, Go Forward. You know, basketball is played going forward. If you've ever played basketball before, you never win by going backward. Anytime you're going backward, you're on defense. Anytime you're going forward, you are on offense. I learned the hard way. I used to play, for a brief time, I played football, American football. You can tell I'm not built like a football player. That is American football, where they have all the helmets and the paddings. I never forgot. One day I got hit in the head. Even though I had a helmet on, I realized that was not what the Lord wanted me to do for the rest of my life. I got hit by a guy twice my weight. And I thought, when I graduate from high school, I want to be able to take my brain with me. So I decided that was not for me. I decided to get into something that was a non-contact sport. But I want you to say that basketball is a contact sport. Every broken bone I ever had was from basketball. Three broken bones on the left. Two broken bones in the nose, broken tibia, lockjaw, almost got my eye poked out. And my most recent one, my throat injury. And the question is, when will I learn? But I'm thanking the Lord. Danny Shelton, by the way, you don't know this. I'd love to come back and bring him with us. But Danny Shelton is one of the best basketball players I've ever known. Don't let his height fool you, and don't let his skin color become a deter. Just to give you a joke, and when he comes here, I'm going to work on this to get him here with us. When he comes here, you can tell him you already know the story. Oakwood College gave him an honorary Negro Award for unusual abilities in basketball. He could be hurting on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But on Tuesday when we play basketball, he's completely healed. Then he's hurting on Tuesday night for the next week till next Tuesday. But you know what? We are two brothers in Christ that have learned through opposition to continue to go forward. And brothers and sisters, I want to say to you today unequivocally, I mentioned it in my prayer, but we are almost home. We are almost home. We are nearing home. And all the signs in the world, all the events in our world forecast the nearness of the return of Jesus. How many are excited that Jesus is coming again? Can you say amen, church? In the balcony, can you say amen up there? You know, Jesus is coming again is not just a song we sing. It's just not number 213 in the hymnal. It's in all the events of the world. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example. When I came to Jamaica for the first time, the Jamaican dollar was 35 to 1. The second time I came with Heritage Singers, Jamaican dollar was 60 to 1. Now you know It's 85, 84, 80, whatever. It's losing its strength. And just in case you think the U.S. dollar is stronger, that's not the case. We are so in debt, we have to borrow money from Jamaica soon. Unless the Lord comes, America would never be out of debt. But this morning, when you think about it, you're sitting in your homes on the hill or in the valley. In the United States, nearly 4 million homes have been abandoned or repossessed. That's what the real picture is. Jobs are at an all-time low. People are unemployed. Doesn't matter what kind of degree you have. Unemployment is at an all-time high in the United States. And whether you know it or not, if the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. We are unfortunately a trendsetter in many areas, and God help America. Because it's not who's in the White House that's going to pull us through. It's who's in the right house. What do you say? It's who's in heaven that's going to make a difference for this entire country. Everything that needs to be in place for the last final movements in our world are in place. The two powers that are to be in place are the only two ruling powers that are in place, the United States and the Vatican. Can I preach here this morning? Can I tell you like it is? We are at a set stage in our world, and the very next major catastrophe or calamity can push this world over the edge. There's not enough money in this world to handle the next disaster. I heard the brother that read the scripture reading, and I saw on his collar the Haiti pin. Continue to pray for Haiti. They still haven't recovered from the last disaster they had. And when you think about it, when a disaster happens in Jamaica, somebody comes from the other part of the world to help. And it happens in America, people come from outside of the country to help us. But what will happen when the day comes where the entire world is in crisis? We are on the edge of eternity, and I'm so glad that the only good news in all this bad news is that Jesus is on his way. I mean, the only one that's going to save this world is Jesus. That's why today my message is go forward. I'm going forward. If you don't want to go with me, I'm going with my wife. But I'm going forward. We travel all over the world, and I have not seen a single place in this world that I would rather give up for heaven. I've walked with the famous and the unnoticed. I've been in homes that are palatial, in palaces that will cause your eyes to be dazzled, but I've not seen a place on this planet, Pastor, that has given me any desire to leave heaven out of the picture and desire this earth instead. I'm almost home, and I'm keeping my mind fixed on Jesus. What do you say? And whether you know it or not, the declining value of real estate has made the words of Jesus even more precious. When he said in John 14, verse 1 to 3, what does he say? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, what? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. Stop. I've never lived in a mansion. Every time I think I've seen a mansion, I see something else that undoes that. Every time I see a house that's massive, I see another house that's even more massive, more rooms, more bling, as the young people would say. But I've never lived in a mansion. But you know what, brethren? I don't care about the real estate on this earth because God's building me my house. Anybody say amen? Come on, choir, say amen. God is building us a house. And a lot of people try to dumb that down because the NIV says, in my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. I like the translation, mansions. Come on, say amen. I've never been in one, but I know that if you're in the presence of God, it's got to be better than any mansion on this planet. So I'm looking forward to that day when I could walk in to the New Jerusalem and all the things that are down here are strangely growing dim as I understand and study the Bible. I love Revelation. I love Bible prophecy. Every Wednesday night, for those of you who have nothing to do at 6:30, you know you're on the same time frame that we are in Illinois. If you have nothing to do at 6:30 on Wednesday nights, you can tune into our website, tvsdac.org, and get a live study on the book of Revelation. I've studied that book since 1991, and we have a group that meets on Wednesday nights to study. So if you have nothing to do at 6:30 on Wednesday night, tune in. But we are getting ready for the coming of our Lord. And brethren, it's time that we fix our minds on where Jesus is. Where we've come from is not as important as where we are headed. Now, you tell that to West Indians. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I was raised in a church in New York City, Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. We had Trinidadians, we had Barbadians, we had Jamaicans. Don't make a mistake and call a Trinidadian a Jamaican. And don't make a mistake and call a Jamaican a Barbadian. What? They'll get all offended because they take pride in where they're from. But I want to remind you this morning, where we're from is not as important as where we're headed. What do you say? However, how we've come from where we've come from has a powerful message. That's why this morning, the focal point of this sermon is to look back. To do what, brethren? To look back, to gain wisdom and courage to go forward. And I've used the story of the children of Israel because they've left some powerful messages for us. When you study the life of the children of Israel, you'll see in what they've chosen to do, many of us. You will see in their lives the battle that many of us face, the difficulties we surmount, the trials and tribulations. You'll see the attacks of the enemy. You see in our congregation, people just like many in their congregation, individuals giving up for much less than what God had promised to give to them. And so if you think about every one of the beginnings that every one of us has had, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 21 summarizes it exactly who we are and where we're from. It's not from Jamaica or the U.S. or St. Thomas or Barbados. The Bible says if you are a son or daughter of God before that moment, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Can you say amen? Now you got to say amen to that. You got to understand who you used to be. Some of you in here this morning used to be alcoholics. Some of you in here this morning used to be womenizers. Some of you used to be so dishonest. I read a story of a man who used to be a thief. Now he's a church treasurer. That's some serious conversion. What do you say? If Paul the Apostle was living in our day, how many of you would want him to be the head elder? A man who has murder on his record. He killed Christians. That was his job. He consented to their death. He lived feverishly to persecute Christians and put them to death. But how many of you would believe the Apostle Paul if he were alive today? How many of you would exalt him the way that you do today when you read his writings? So when God looks at your life where you used to be, it's amazing what God can do after Jesus. There's BC, before Christ, and there's AC, after Christ. And today we are rejoicing because we are children after Christ. But I want to continue the message with a very sobering quotation. I'd like you to turn your attention to the screen as I read this. I could have just simply read it, but if you follow along as best as you can, I want you to see this quotation. This is a powerful quotation. Because as we're getting excited about the coming of the Lord, Satan is marshaling every ounce of energy he has to try to keep us out of the promised land. The quotation is from Councils on Stewardship, page 154. As the people of God approach the perils of the last days, which there are many, Satan holds earnest consultation with his angels. Just picture that. As to the most successful plan to overthrow their faith. He sees that the popular churches are already lulled to sleep by his deceptive power. By pleasing sophistry and lying wonders, he can continue to hold them under his control. Therefore, he directs his angels to lay their snares, especially for those who are looking for the second advent of Jesus and endeavoring to keep all the commandments of God. Now, brethren, I don't know if you caught that in your mind, but just imagine as we're sitting here, Satan is consulting his angels. How can I best stop the pastor? How can I best stop the pastor of the Andrews Memorial Church? How can we best trip up the elders and the leaders of this congregation? How can we cause that congregation to be more of a shame than a glory to God? Satan is holding consultation with his angels. That's why this morning, the message that I'm going to share with you has a lot of courage in it. Because if God can lead the children of Israel through the wilderness to the promised land, he can do the same for us. Can you say amen? Even with all the trials and difficulty you have here, the one purpose that the Lord has said. The one reason why God has led us out of where we used to be is the same reason why God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Notice Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, and the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, go unto Pharaoh, I'm reading the screen, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. Let's read the rest together. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Now, if we forget what they forgot, we may flounder like Israel did. Because, brothers and sisters, those of you who are successful, don't forget. It was not Moses that led them out of Egypt. It was God. Can you say amen? It was not Pharaoh that decided to set them free. It was God. It was not Moses that saved them from destruction. It was God. It was not Moses that gave them water and gave them bread. It was God. Can you say amen? It was not Moses that protected them from the serpents and scorpions in the wilderness. It was God. It was not Moses that performed the wonders that stopped the enemy's hand. It was God. And all the blessings, all the reasons why we're here, those of you in Jamaica have extra reasons to be rejoicing, to be thankful. I got to say it again. If you could make it home through this traffic, oh yeah. If you can make it home alive, and some of you have been driving in Jamaica all day, if you can make it home alive, don't say, I'm a good driver. Say, God is a good deliverer. Amen. Some of you sitting in those beautiful houses, you didn't get that house. God allowed you to get that house. Some of you at your high incomes, whatever that may be in Jamaica, whether, I don't know what the categories may be, but whatever you have, you got to remember this morning, it was not your strength, not your clarity, not your wisdom, not your prowess. Every blessing we have is because of the goodness of the Lord. I know where I would be if it weren't for God's grace. I'd be in New York City, maybe strung out on something. A lot of my friends that were raised in the church, a lot of them have died. They thought that they can go back to the world. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. They thought they can go out into the world, enjoy the world, and make it back before Jesus comes. And many of them went out and died out there. But God looked way down. And the reason I know Jesus is coming soon, Pastor, is this. He reached way down to get me up. God can save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. What do you say? So what God is doing in your life today, there's all the reason why we need to rejoice. God is a good God. And we've got to get to the place. There's a saying that the young people have. I don't know if they use it in Jamaica. It may have a little different ring to it. But in the U.S., a young person will look at another person and say, you're not all that. Do they use that in Jamaica? With a little bit of ring to it, right? You're not all that. Brethren, when we admit that we are not all that, we'll decide that Jesus is all that. What do you say? He is all that. When we realize that we are not able, we'll discover that God is able. When we conclude that we can't do it, then we'll see that God can do it. And when we decide that we are not qualified, it is only then that God can qualify us. So I'm qualified today not by the literary institutions. I've been one of the blessed ones. In some sense, God has allowed me to walk a road that I did not prepare for, but that He prepared me for. And so all the glory this morning when people say, hey, I see you on 3ABN, you know what I say? I'm just a lampshade. God is the light. And if I forget that, on any given day, God could replace me, Danny, CA, and all the other leaders if we forget that all the glory belongs only to God. So when God finds us in Egypt, He doesn't leave us there. But sometimes, brethren, we've been in Egypt so long that we give the devil more attention than he deserves. Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. Sometimes we've been out there so long, we talk about the devil more than we should. Sometimes we look at more of what he's doing rather than what God is doing for us. Exodus 14, verse 10, after God led them out, God was leading them. And by the way, when God led them out of Egypt, he didn't leave a single Israelite. But get this, God didn't lead them out of Egypt because they were all good. God led them out because how he finds us. He loves us as we are. Say amen. But he never leaves us the way he finds us. We got to teach that part of the sermon too. Some of you, God loves you just like you are. That's true, but God is not going to leave you like he finds you. God loves drug addicts, drug dealers, and All the other classes of people that are there in their dark arts, God loves them, but He does not leave us the way He finds us. And there ought to be a difference in our lives. There ought to be a difference in our lives after we meet Jesus. But notice what happened. As God led them out, notice what the devil did. Verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel, what did they do, friends? They lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were what? Sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, let me break that down. First of all, it says, the enemy pursued them. Now, you know what? Some of us think it's strange that the devil don't like us. Some people join the church, elder, and think that by joining the church, all my trials are over. Well, I think if you've been in here any length of time, you know that after you join the church, your trials just begin. Am I right? Two reasons why those trials just begin after you join the church. One, now you know the responsibility that you have. Now you know what God wants you to live up to, and you try to do it in your own strength. That's the first reason for trials. But the second reason is, whenever you decide to stand on the side of Jesus, you can be sure the devil's going to stand against you. And we don't talk about the enemy enough nowadays. So what happens during the week is, you know, you meet people when they come to church on Sabbath. They talk, oh, the devil tried to kill my children. Devil took my money out of my bank account. We talk about the devil like he's some movie star. You know what we ought to say? No matter what he did, I'm still here on Sabbath morning. No matter what trial I went through, the Lord has graciously delivered me. That's what we ought to say. But sometimes we give the devil so much press, and when the Bible says that they lifted up their eyes, what actually is meant there is they change their focus. In the last days, the one thing Satan wants you to do while he's pursuing you is to change your focus. They took their eyes off of the Lord. Whenever you take your eyes off of the Lord, brethren, everything looks worse than it really is. Now, there are trials. I don't want to minimize that. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll discover that He can pull you through. Amen. Is there anything difficult for God? Yes or no? There's nothing difficult for God. They took their eyes off the Lord. Therefore, their journey seemed to be more rigorous and more difficult than it had ever been. I shared this with the earlier service. You may have been here. If not, but I'm going to share it with you. When we decided to drive over from Montego Bay, we were having so much fun. You know, driving down the main highway, we got to Ocho Rios, and we were smiling as we went through Fern Gully, and it was so beautiful, and my brother-in-law was dodging every pothole. You know, Jamaica is pothole land. I don't know. It's like, you know, huh? Yeah. And so one of the drivers said to me, you have to work on your PhD in Jamaica, pothole dodger. One Jamaican man told me that. But we stopped at a small town. There was a lady that was selling some roast corn and roast breadfruit. And you cannot have a car filled with Jamaicans and drive past roast breadfruit. So it seems like all my sister-in-laws said that at the same time, stop! So I told my brother-in-law, I said, now when they start talking about stuff, they may not say stop, but they mean stop. So he stopped so far ahead he had to back up to the breadfruit, and we stayed there, about 15, 20 minutes. And then we started making our way, but he had to eat his corn, roast corn. It was really good, but it was hard. But because it was Jamaican, I ate it. You know, I thought, well. Brethren, I'm glad now that by the time we got to Red Hill Road, that it was night. Because they tell me that that's some treacherous road. It's very high. It's very, very steep. It's very, very dangerous. And every now and then I'd look to the left and I could see a precipice. And I could hear all the noise in the back of the vehicle. Watch out. Cars coming at me. The roads are narrowing and three cars and they're trying to head at you and you have to slam on your brakes and dodge. And I thought to myself, this is a tough journey. But you know what we did before we left? We prayed. And brethren, you'll realize in life that sometimes the road of your life looks like a back road in Jamaica. But if you pray, God can carry you through it. Can you say amen? Oh, Oh, yeah, some of your marriages have potholes in it. Am I telling the truth? Don't raise your hand and tell me which one. But I know some of the marriages in here have potholes. Some of the families in here have difficulties. Many of the families in here have difficulties. But if you pray when you wake up in the morning, you'll discover that God can carry you through anything. That's why in these last days, they took their eyes off of Jesus. They took their eyes off of the journey. They forgot their destination. They lost sight of those who travel with them. And they turned their attention away from the Lord. But the Lord has said in His Word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, let me spend a little bit of time on that. You know, brethren, standards are vital to the last day church because without them, Satan will come in like a flood. My brother, put the text on the screen, Revelation 12 and verse 15. I want you to see that really quickly. I'm going to spend a few minutes on that point. And I don't have very much left, so don't die of hunger. You'll be all right. Don't have very much left, but I just want to go ahead and share this text. This is a powerful text. Remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. But I want you to get this picture, because this passage shows us how important it is to have standards in the church. Notice what Satan attempted to do, and this is what he's doing in the last days. So the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Who's the woman? Somebody tell me. The church. The water, what do you think the water represents? Prophetically, they represent what? People. But in this passage, it does not necessarily represent people. Follow me carefully. Not only people, it has another meaning to it. He cast water in his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be what? Carried away of the flood. Now follow this very carefully. In Genesis 49 and verse 4, the Bible describes water as instability. Thou art Reuben, my firstborn, unstable as water, the Lord said. Water is powerful. It will wash away everything that is not built on the rock. We discovered that. That's why when we tried to go through the gorge, they said we've had so much rain that it washed away the bridge. Satan is pouring water into the church to try to wash away the standards of God. Can I be straight this morning? All right, I need to be straight. I just want your permission, but I was going to be straight anyway. Satan is pouring water into the church to try to wash away the standards. Look at verse 11 of Exodus 14. Look at verse 11 of Exodus 14. Look at what the people saw rather than what God was trying to show them. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They said to Moses, the reason why you brought us out here is for us to die. Now, let me tell you something, brother. The Lord does not put us on any journey for us to die. Somebody say amen. Anytime God takes you away from where you were, you're not going to die, but something does have to die. The way you lived before has to die. You think I could be a gambler and a pastor at the same time? You think I'll be a pool hustler at the same time and be a pastor? I can't do that. So what they didn't realize is the wilderness journey was one of reform and preparation. In other words, God changed them in the journey. And here's the key. Not everybody that left Egypt made it into Canaan. So not everybody that's saved or accept Jesus is going to make it in unless in the journey they are willing to change with Jesus. Oh, yeah. Got to be some changes. You see, the wilderness journey was not to separate them from God, but to separate them from Pharaoh and the things of Egypt. Not to kill them, but to protect them from certain death. So what was the problem in the wilderness? The land of milk and honey was before them. Heaven is before us. And by the way, the church is not heaven. But it ought to be a glimpse of what heaven's going to be. We ought to love each other in the church like we're going to love each other when we get to heaven. Somebody say amen. Not wait till we get to heaven, but start to love each other down here. But what happened? What made the difference? Look at verse 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now this is a powerful point. Do you think it's better to leave the church and go back out in the world? Now what if I offered you $1 million to drop your membership? What if I said I'll pay all your bills? Make sure you have money for the rest of your life. Any car you want, I'll make sure you have it. I'll give you visibility, fame, fortune. I'll take care of your enemies for you. Anybody that mess with you, I'll make sure they don't mess with you again. What would you do if I said there's nothing on this planet that from this day forth you cannot afford if you leave the church? Now, as much as you're saying, a lot of you are quiet, but let me tell you where I'm headed with this. Sometimes we peek out of the church and look in the world and it looks really good. And some of us dabble in it and come back and dabble in it and come back. But brethren, don't take the devil's bait. Because it may not look like you're enjoying life now, but let me give you a little story to illustrate what I mean. My wife and I were down in Beverly Hills. And we were down there during one of these awards. I think it was the Grammys or the American Music Awards or whatever it was, but they had the red carpet out there in California. Thank you, honey. I just took it for granted that you knew where I was. And there they were with the red carpet. You know, when people stand on a red carpet, they look important, don't they? And all the cars that pulled up were black stretch limousines with dark windows. And, you know, they made sure they get all the security. See, common folk like me can't get anywhere close to that. So here I am, blocks away, seem like blocks away, and I'm straining. I want to see if I can see Tom Cruise or Nicole Kidman or who. Do you see anybody you know? No, I don't see anybody I know. You know how we do. Come on, talk to me. Yeah. Famous. What? Do you see? Nah, that's not him. That's somebody else. And so what happened? Somebody driving by roll down the window on the limousine just enough for us to see the eyes. Who is that? Did you catch who that is? You know how the devil does us. You know what I don't like about the devil? He throws his temptations in our faces. Hey, do you like that? Huh? You like that? Huh? And so what happened? I got all flustered by that. I said, you know, that's just not fair. Here they are. They have all this money, all this fame, all this property, all this red carpet treatment, and these black limousines. And there were like hundreds of limousines. And as I was driving away all discouraged, the Lord talked to me. And he said, John, don't worry about that. You see, the reason why they have black tinted windows is they don't want you to see what they have. But the way that God encouraged me, Pastor, was he said, now one day, brethren, see, you don't see what they have, but one day they're going to see what you have. Because that's the reason why the walls of the New Jerusalem are going to be transparent. Come on, say amen, somebody. See, they don't want to show us what they have, but one day they're going to see what we have. And so what we're going to have one day is a whole lot better than what they have now. Did you get it? We're going to be standing on streets of gold, not on red carpet. We're going to be walking through gates made of pearl. You think they have something? You wait till our day come. You may not be noticed now, but one day your name is going to be mentioned as the redeemed of the ages. So it may not be on a billboard, it may not be on a marquee, it may not show up on television, but when the Lord calls my name, that's all that really matters. What do you say? So let them keep their black limousines and their exclusive parties and their are-you-on-the-checklist kind of parties. As long as my name is on the guest list of heaven, what do you say? Long as when all those names are read, my name is in one of those names. And I don't care if I go on first or last, as long as the door shuts behind me. Can you say amen? What a day it's going to be when we are walking in not black suits and white ties, but we're going to be walking in the robe of righteousness. And the table and the dinner, you talk about those after-party dinners, they say, well, the real fun is after the party. or after the broadcast. They have these exclusive parties down in Beverly Hills and on this side and that side. And they say, you got to be special to make it in there. Well, brethren, I know I'm special because I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So when you think about the reason to go forward because it doesn't matter what you have now. You see, the devil tried to make them compromise. That's why as God brought them out, the devil tried to break them down and to get them to go back to the way they were in Egypt. And how were they in Egypt? You see, when God called you out of Egypt, there are things that we cannot eat that are in Egypt. The reason why God led them out of Egypt, he wanted to change their diet before they got to the promised land. Now, I'm going to say something. You just let me know if you're going to throw something. I'll duck. But we even have to make our black cake a little differently. Just warn me now. I've had some black cake. And somebody said, well, you know, the alcohol we put, it evaporates. Yeah, right. It evaporates, then you resaturate it. I know what I'm talking about. I remember once my aunt made me some black cake. She's not a Christian. She sent me a black cake for Christmas. I cut that cake and took one bite, and I was like, honey, wait. I couldn't eat it. I think I still have it. That must have been 12 years ago. That cake was preserved. What I'm saying, brethren, West Indians, we have some things that are good, but we've got to make a change in some of the things that are good after Jesus. If folk come into your house, and if you're a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and folk come into your house and they leave more intoxicated than when they came, something's got to change. Can you say amen? And then the other thing, the devil wants us to compromise also in the areas of dress. We should look like Eve before the fall. Then after the fall. You see, when Eve fell, she put on an apron. God said, you ain't wearing no apron in my earth. So he killed an animal and covered her with skin. Brethren, there ought to be a difference. Can I talk to the ladies briefly? I got a lot of them behind me. Just be careful. There ought to be a difference in the way we look as Christian women after we meet Jesus. Make it easy for the brethren. Don't let them come to church on Sabbath morning and lose their faith. Can I be straight? Well, one brother, I did a men's ministries retreat and talking to some young men down in Miami, Florida, and we had three sessions, one for the whole church, Sabbath morning, then on Sunday was called for men only. And they want to talk about all the struggles they had in church. And this is Miami, Florida. Miami is kind of like Jamaica. It's always warm. Down in Miami, they don't hardly wear any clothes. And that's the same impact on the trial the church has. So I said to one of the brothers, he said, Pastor, what do we do on Sabbath morning? Sometimes I come to church with the Lord on my mind, and I have to look at the ceiling while I'm in church. And it was a short brother. He was a little guy, about 5'2", whatever. And I said, well, just look up. And what he said next, every one of the men just almost lost it. He said, when I look up, I'm chest level with most of the women in church. And that's the problem, because they don't cover up. So what am I supposed to do? He was a Nicodemus. Sorry, he was a Zacchaeus. Now I see why Zacchaeus climbed the tree, because it's hard to stay in church on the same ground. So ladies, come on now. Make it easy for the gentleman. Amen, somebody. And then the last thing that's a big issue nowadays, I may cut some of the sermon down, but you know, I'm not going to let you go till I'm done. But the big issue now in the church is music. Mm-hmm. When reggae was written, it wasn't written to the intent to glorify God. And brethren, when the music you worship with put you further away from holy living, there's something wrong with it. When the music you use in church makes you more comfortable in the world, there's something wrong with it. When the lyrics you sing in worshiping God lead you away from the truth of God's word, there's something wrong with it. When the sound of the music makes you move like you used to move before Jesus, there's something wrong with it. We got to be a people getting ready for Jesus. Amen, somebody. Don't make me drown up here by myself. You see, there was a time when Seventh-day Adventists would not worship in Sunday churches. But now they go to church on Sundays to worship because the music has become more important than the message. And they talk about going to get my praise on. The devil couldn't pull us out of here with false doctrines, yet he uses music to get us to leave on our own volition. We walk out of here because, you know, we got to hear Kirk Franklin and I don't want to throw your Christian record collection off kilter. But brethren, if it's not truth in lyrics, don't sing it. And if all it has is to pull you back into where you used to be before, I used to dance. And I'll be honest with you, I got a record collection. I got a lot of gospel music. I like Yolanda Adams and all the other ones. But sometimes a song come up by Mary Mary. You know what I'm talking about. And that thing, you want to just go for it. You know, and the music is designed to make you move. And you forget about Jesus right away. I'm telling the truth. I know that's the truth. Am I telling you the truth? And all of a sudden, you know what, that song by, what's his name? Come on, help me out. He's a, what's the famous guy? Huh? Donnie McClurkin. He got that song, "When I play this song, you gotta sing like a Jamaican, you gotta dance like a Jamaican." Come on, am I telling you the truth? And all of a sudden, all the Jamaicans, you know, rock, come on, Jesus, you know. And that's what's happening. Now, you laughing, but that's what the devil is doing to get you out of here. And some of you come to church on Sabbath and the choir is singing to the glory of God, but there ain't no rhythm in it or no, ain't none of that in it. And you guys, that's dead. I'm going to church tomorrow so I get my praise on. And before you know it, that's exactly what Satan did in the Old Testament. So when Paul says there's spiritual wickedness in high places, what happened was the false leaders like Ahab, Jezebel, and many of the kings of Israel that had apostatized built false altars of worship right next to the altars of God. And they got you to worship the false and the true. Brethren, we ought to make a difference between the false and the true. Amen. And don't let music be the reason why you go out. Don't worship the artist. Worship God. Amen. And the next text shows you evidence that they started worshiping the false gods. Look at verse 12. That section there that says, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve them." Brethren, it's never better to serve Satan, even if it wraps itself up in so-called Christian music. Oh yeah, I know. I have some secular stuff I gave away that's a lot less rocky than some of this Christian music. And just because they add the name God to it does not make it Christian. See, I'm going to tell like it is. I'm going home in the morning. Pastor has to sort this out when I leave. Oh yeah, but it's time that we start getting ready for heaven. Amen. In every area of our lives. So if it doesn't fit, see, you guys talking O.J. Simpson language here. That's not what I'm saying. If it doesn't fit, don't bring it in here. There's no such thing as sin for free. The wages of sin is death. And lastly, as I close, he finally had to still the children of Israel and make it clear to them that God's plan for their lives is better on any day than Satan plans for their lives. Look at verse 15 as I wind up this message. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to do what, brethren? To go forward. Stop complaining in the wilderness. Stop complaining about our circumstances. Stop complaining that we don't have this and don't have that. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.'" And by the way, whether you don't know it or not, or whether you know it or not, nothing you have on this earth is going to heaven with you. You're not taking your house with you. You're not taking all that junk in your garage with you. There's some people that have so much junk in the garage, they don't even know what's in there. Some of these guys driving down the street, they see a big piece of wood, they pick it up. I could use that, and they never use it. I'm so glad that when Jesus comes, he's only taking us back. What do you say? And that's good, because if we had to pack to get ready for heaven, some of you will never get there, because you have so much junk. But today, brethren, it's time to look forward and forget about all the difficulties that we have to surmount. And lastly, the reason why the obstacles would not move that were in front of them is because they wouldn't move. You see, this is not the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I just threw a wrench at you, didn't I? This is the Seventh-day Adventist movement. For reasons of convenience, we've just been studying the 150 years of our name. It's a unique name, but it began as a movement. Don't get content as a church. We've got to keep on moving. What do you say? This go forward message is for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Don't get content that the church is filled in two services. There are lots of people in Jamaica that don't know about Jesus. Don't know about the truth of this message. Don't get content that we are here. We got to keep going forward. There are more people to add to this message before Jesus comes. And I like the passage. He says, if you keep going forward, the enemy that you see today, you'll see no more forever. And God delivered them and brought them into the promised land with a mighty hand. And he's going to do that for us one day. Can you say amen? Yesterday was 166 years of history. Yesterday was October 22nd. 166 years ago, yesterday, was the great disappointment. So, Pastor, what's today? Today is the great appointment. No more disappointment. That was yesterday. Today is October 23rd. Today we've got a great appointment. And I've determined in my mind that I'm going to make it home. I'm going to get ready by God's grace so that if I don't see you again, I'll be able to see you in the kingdom. There's some of you that I see today that I won't see anymore until we make it to the kingdom. And I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Anybody? I'm looking forward to be there. Anybody else want to be there? I've got my mind fixed on going home. I've got my mind set that there's nothing and nobody and no one. As C.D. Brooks says, it doesn't make sense to go through hell and end up in hell. Doesn't make any sense. So, brethren, today, if I'm going through hell down here, when I'm done down here, so is all my trials. Can you say amen? If you're going through it, go through it. But go through it with Jesus. Because this journey is about to wind down, it's about to end, and Jesus is soon to come. Anybody want to go home? In more ways than one. I understand where you're coming from. So let's wind it up right here. Is that okay? But let me wind it up with a story. When my wife and I were joining, when we joined the Heritage Singers back in 1984 and sang full-time for 2 years, my wife didn't sing, but that was the first time they hired a wife and gave her the same salary that they gave the singers. We took three days and 3 hours to drive 3,000 plus miles, not kilometers, miles. We drove out there with a car that had cancer. It was a 1978 Toyota Corona, an engine that I rebuilt myself. I'll tell you the details tonight. The car was so rusted that when we drive down the highway, if the wind blew, you'll see the fenders go up like this. And if the wind blew on the right side, the fender will go up this way and it'll pull the car that way or it'll pull the car that way. That's all we had to drive to California. When my engine blew, somebody wanted to charge me $1,200 to fix a car that wasn't even worth $1,200. So you know what I did? I had never fixed an engine before, but I said, I can't. If I'm going to make it to California, I'm going to have to rebuild this engine myself. And some of you know, if you've ever tried that before, it's a daunting, scary task. So we had a garage. My friend decided to help me with it. And my wife came by one day when we had that engine, Elder, in about 2,000 parts. Every piece, every screw, every piece of wire was on the ground. And I labeled every wire so I could know where it came from. But what made the difference? You see, I had never done it before, but I went out and bought me an auto manual, Chilton's auto manual, and I began to take that engine apart by the book. Glenn, know what I'm talking about? I followed the book, and it looked complicated, but I followed the book. Whatever looks complicated, brethren, if you follow the book, it will become easy. What do you say? 2 weeks in working on that engine, finally got it all put back together. I must say, when I was done, I had 3 screws left over. Don't know where they went. But I started up the car, and it started up. Praise God. So we finally drive the car over to the house where Aunt B is, and we're getting ready to drive to California. And the family, knowing that I'm not a mechanic, said to me, here's the phone number. When the car breaks down, just call us. But this old black American lady, Sister Johnson, real southern name in the United States, she said to me, if God can take Moses through the wilderness with one slipper, he can take you to California in that car. Amen? Amen. We didn't have air conditioning. It was July, the hottest time of the year. We drove on the southern tip of the United States, which is hot all the way, 90-plus degrees all the way. When I got there, my left arm was toasted from sunburn. So we decided on the way back, we were going to take our time. Still didn't have air conditioning. The only way we got air conditioning was to drive fast. So my wife said, take your time going back. Don't rush. I mean, we have all the time. We're just going home. Well, there was something about that phrase, we're just going home. And when we started driving through the deserts of California, in the back of my mind, I remember she said, we're just going home. And I looked at the unpleasant nature of the desert, the gray, barren wilderness. And I said, but we're going home, right? The headlights stopped working one night on the highway. But I said, that's all right. We're going home, right? The engine started sputtering in Texas, pulled off the road, thought that was the end of the journey. God allowed me to touch something. I think he fixed it. And the car kept going, and I said, we're going home, right? And it got so long, the journey got so treacherous, my wife said, I'm not driving anymore. I said, well, honey, you sit there, we're going home. I'll take it the rest of the way. Brethren, I must say to you, when we saw the sign, welcome to Florida, all the cold nights, all the disappointment of the car breaking down, all the heat of the sun didn't really matter anymore because we were home. Can you say amen? Amen. Because what made a difference was we had family that loved us. We had someone that was waiting for us. Brothers and sisters, today as we sit here, Jesus is waiting for us to come home. He's working on the dinner. He's got the placemats being placed. He's got little cardboard made of gold with your name on it. He knows where you're going to be seated. Today we got to make up our mind to get ready to go home. Somebody say amen. And so I'm saying to you, no matter what you face, no matter how trusting and how difficult it may be, give up all that you must. Hold on all that you can, because when Jesus comes, you're going to see that it pays to go home. And so I want to close with this appeal. Is if somebody here today that's discouraged, that wants to make up his or her mind to go all the way with Jesus. As I sing this closing song, I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but today we've got a great appointment. Forget what's behind you and make up your mind to go forward. I want to appeal first to the young people, because they are the lifeblood in many areas of our church. And I want to say to you today, the devil has a lot of plans for your life, but the Lord has better plans for your life. If you give your life to Jesus, you'll discover how beautiful it is to serve a risen Savior. I want to appeal to those who are older, the leaders of this church. You may have been in the movement for 30 years or 40 years. I want to say to you today, you've not traveled all this time for nothing. You're nearing home. So today, as I sing this closing song, if you've made up your mind that you want to keep going forward with Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. But if you feel the movement of God's Holy Spirit today and you want to say, Pastor John, there's some things in my life I've got to get straight. I want to come forward and give my life to Jesus. The doors of the church are open, because that's what it's all about, getting ready to go home with Jesus. So as I sing this closing song and you feel God moving on your heart, I pray that you'll come out from where you are and just simply say, Lord, I'm tired. I want to go home. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't wait for anybody else. This is a call on your life. If the Spirit speaks to you, just get up from wherever you are and come on down and join us.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
Anybody else?
Tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love and I'll believe thy word. Oh, my Lord, I'm coming home.
Anybody else?
Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. Please open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Have you been walking with Jesus? And you want to recommit yourself today, just stand wherever you are. Are you tired?
I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming back home. I'll trust thy love and I'll believe thy word. Oh, my Lord, I'm coming home.
Anybody here today?
I need your cleansing blood. I know. So now I'm coming back home. God, wash me whiter. I want to be whiter than snow. Oh, my Lord, I'm coming back home. Coming home, Lord, never, never again will I roam. Please open wide thine arms of love, my Lord. Yes, I'm coming.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, you've spoken to our hearts today, Lord, to determine to go forward. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. You haven't promised us a smooth journey, but you've promised us a certain delivery. You've never said to us that there would be a life without trial, but you did say, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Sometimes we are called to walk through the valley of the shadows of death, and we don't understand. But Father, today we fear no evil, for you are with us. And I pray for those in this congregation, Lord, that have heard the voice of God speak to them today, and they said, I want a new beginning with Jesus.
When the Lord comes, I don't want to be left out. I want to be in that number. I want to hear my name called. I want to hear the words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." I want to sit down at the welcome table. I want to eat. And I want to drink with Jesus. And I want to spend the ceaseless ages of eternity telling all the unfallen worlds how I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so, Father, today there are those who have come here today for a new beginning with Jesus. I pray that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll strengthen us to be a people of the book again, not just on the roll, but those who know Jesus as their personal Savior, their personal Lord. I pray for the leadership of this church. Once again, I lift up before you Pastor King, that he may look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in his life, that he and his wife will walk closely with Jesus as he has been called to shepherd this church. Give him wisdom and direction and an understanding so that this flock you've entrusted to him will make it into the kingdom by his faithful leadership and by your shed blood. But Lord, when we leave this place today, we leave here with a determination, come what may, we will serve Jesus. And so, Father, if we don't see each other again, may it be our joy and our privilege that when the earth is made new, that we will have homes down here built for the glory of the Lord. When the call is made and the trumpet sounds, we will hear our names and we will ascend to meet Jesus in the kingdom made for us. So keep us, Father. Watch between us. While we're absent from one another, while we're absent from one another, keep us and strengthen us by your grace and for the glory of the Lord. And we pray all of this, and we ask for this to be the glory and the honor of your holy and precious name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.